Go to Romans 13. I just want to read the scripture God gave me that about don't feed the bears. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible, don't feed the bears, by the way. Maybe the Living Bible might have. I'll have to look it up. Romans 13, verse 11. And then we're going to go back into Revelations, which fits right along with what we're talking about here. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of darkness. You know what the works of darkness are? Sin. Yeah, we could point out individual, but you're right, it's sin. Cast off the works of darkness and put on. See, if you just cast off the works of darkness and you don't put nothing in its place, you know what you got? You got a problem getting ready to happen. You got a canoe with a hole in it and it's been patched up real poorly with some tape or something, and it's not going to be too long before it gives out, right? So, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make how much? No provision. And I looked up provision. We know what it is, but it says forethought, provident care, or supply for the flesh. So it's like feeding an animal. It's like feeding a bear. Do not give the flesh a reason to rise up. Do not give your flesh ammunition. You crucify the flesh, right? Bible says, die to your old man. Die to your own self. And some of us have done that. Hopefully all of us have done that. But if you don't put on that armor of light, it'll rise back up again, won't it? Every one of us has got a sin that so easily draws us away. Mine might not be yours, Rachel. You might have something totally different in you that rises up. Some of y'all rise up in anger and rage. Not pointing out no... You do? You don't have to, you know what? Praise God, you don't have to. So let's go to Revelations. And I may go back and I'm going to the Compromising Church, which I believe it's 212, the Church of Pergamos. And you know, Jesus thought enough of the churches, the seven churches in Asia, to write them handwritten letters from Jesus. We know that John wrote them, but Jesus said, this is what I want to tell the church. And the thing is, it wasn't just for the churches, the seven churches in Asia. It's churches of all, I believe every church on this planet fits into one of these categories, maybe more than one. But if you look at it and go, wow, we're there, I don't like that, or wow, we're there and that's good. So God wants to tweak us and make us into His image. He wants us to be a beautiful bride. He doesn't want this to be a worn-out church. He don't want it to be a church that he wants it to be alive. And that's what God's doing. And that's why it's so important that you young people raise up. And you are. Praise God. It's very, very, very important that the young people rise up. Because we should look at the young people with jealousy. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean we should go, whoa, you've got all this zeal, you've got all this passion, you've got energy, you can run and not grow weary, you can do all these things, and you don't have to be an idiot for 15 years. You don't have to be a loser. You don't have to have, praise God, you don't have to have a good testimony. Oh, I want a good testimony. No, you don't. You do not want a good testimony. You know what the best testimony is? To serve Jesus and never fall. That is the greatest testimony you can ever have. But if you should fall, praise God. He'll elevate you. He'll make you, he'll take your testimony and he will use it for his kingdom. But there's no point in going there, young people, and y'all know it. And I'm going to tell you what, we have the most incredible group of young people. Dawn, I compare it to back when you guys were in youth group. We had this honeymoon when we first started working with youth. They were like 90% of them were not church kids. Sometimes church kids youth group are like, eh, we know all that, you know, and it, they don't really, they're not even teachable sometimes. But we've got a group that are churched and they've grown up in the way they should go and they're wanting to live it, you know. They're not wanting to rebel and turn away from it, which I think that's an incredible testimony to you parents, because there's a reason they don't want to run from it. It's because they've seen real. Amen. They've seen real and not hypocrisy. And I'm not saying when your kid runs away and doesn't do right, I'm not saying that at all, because if that's true, mine run away. So was I a hypocrite? I hope not. You know, I tried to live what God showed me to live. But anyway, where was I at? Yes, thank you. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the, what? Sharp two-edged sword, which is what? The Word of God, praise the Lord. I know your works. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you do not deny my faith, even in the days which Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So they're living in a place where people are being persecuted for the faith. But I have a few things against you. Uh-oh. He wants us to be perfect, don't he? You got all these good works. You got a little bit of baggage, and we're just not even going to mention that. No, he wanted to mention it so they could be perfected, didn't he? Because you have those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. And I thought, what's the doctrine of Balaam? Balaam was a prophet that prophesied for money, did he not? I'll give you all this stuff if you'll just prophesy against the children of Israel, right? Well, of course he went, well, I can't do that. But he kept giving in and giving in and giving in. So to me, he's talking to a church that possibly the leadership's all about money. Maybe they're about building their own kingdom. Maybe not even intentionally, but it's a warning to the church. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about we got the biggest church in the county. It's not about that. It's about the gospel. And it's so easy to be pulled away by stuff. And it's so easy to be pulled away by fame. Look at the great evangelists in America that have fallen. And you go, well, they never were with the Lord anyway. Oh, I beg your pardon. Jimmy Swaggart was one of the mightiest men of God I ever heard preach anywhere. But yet, he falls for a couple of prostitutes in New Orleans or something. I'm like, what? How could that happen? Because the enemy hates him, and the enemy will put everything in your path that draws you away. Right. I better shut up. I didn't mean to go there. But the doctrine of Balaam, his preaching and his teaching became a job. Yeah. And I pray before God, if this ever becomes a job, let's quit. Let's go do something else. Because there's a lot easier ways to make a living. And I think that's why God has never wanted us to take a salary, because it's not about the money. Now, it's okay to take money, but he has equipped us and given us a retirement, and he's allowed us to do this because we love the gospel. And you could even do the wrong thing not making any money. You know, you could do it out of fame and pride. So, Lord Jesus, let's just pray, Lord Jesus, use me, God. Use me in the kingdom. Hold your hands up. You want to be used in the kingdom, God. Lord, I want you to be famous. Lord, I want, come on, guys, roar. I want thousands to come into the kingdom, God. Lord, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God, I will see the dead raised, God. Lord, I will see signs and wonders and miracles, but I will always give you glory. And I will always repent quickly, God, when I seek after my own, God. Help me not to seek after my own. Help this church to never seek after our own, God. No matter how big we get, no matter how well we known we get, no matter if people come in here from Australia and Japan and all over the world, God, no, we will not bow to your idols. No, this will not be a house of merchandise. This will be called, Faith Harvest will be called a house of prayer in Jesus' name. Y'all keep girding it up because we're fixing to see an explosion. And we got to be sure that we don't get drugged down. We don't get drugged down by things and stuff. By the way, you can buy this prayer cloth for $3. And I guarantee you, you'll be driving a new Cadillac when you leave here. It's more subtle than that. And you've heard that, haven't you? Whoa, you're talking about doctrine of Balaam. I'm going to read that 14 again. I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols, to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So the Nicolaitans were a sect in the church, and they were charged with holding the error of Balaam, casting a stumbling block before the church by upholding liberty to eat things sacrificed to idols, committing fornication. The Nicolaitans means, what it means is the church hierarchy. The church hierarchy have become more than what they are. Does that make sense? The church hierarchy has become ruling class. They've become like kings. They've become like, you know, they're adorned in all these beautiful things, and when they walk out, they're like, ooh, ooh, they're holy. Not that you shouldn't respect men and women of God, but they are not to be placed on a level with God. And that's the problem. Sometimes church government gets out of whack. Mm-hmm. And the servants are worshiped. That's never good. And that's what he's talking about. You cannot do this. And you know, there was a church in the Middle Ages that's like, we don't want you to know what the Bible says. You will not read the Bible. In fact, we put it in a language you can't understand because you're liable to find out something's not quite right here. And that's why I encourage everyone here, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. When I preach something, you go and look in the Bible and you see if it's true. And then if it's not, you tell me, hey, Pastor, I respectfully disagree. I think you did it one time, hon, and I just said something. Boom. You ever said things that, if you ever said things that you were told you'd heard preached many, many times and you it became a doctrine in your life and it became truth in your life, and then one day you found out, that's not in the Bible. That's not what it says. Here's a big Pentecostal one, okay? The word for power is dunamis, which is the root word where we get dynamite. It's not true. That's something somebody made up to preach one day because they thought it sounded good. I remember I heard, Who was it opened my eyes to that? It might have been Kristen when she went to ministry school. Yeah, it was Michael Brown, who's like scholar, Bible scholar. It is like dynamite, but anyway. So we don't want to have the doctrine of Balaam, do we? We don't want to be like the Nicolaitans. God, in Jesus' name, just hold your hands up. Well, let's pray this over us in our church. Lord, we refuse to embrace his doctrine of the Nicolaitans, God. We will not worship man. We will not serve man. We serve only the Most High God. We don't serve Caesar. We don't even serve the religious world in Jesus' name. We don't bow to what the religious world says right and wrong. Right? Because the religious world right now, yeah, they're bowing. They're bowing to what's going on in society and going, oh, it must be okay. But no, in Jesus' name. It's the Word of God. It's the truth of God. And that settles it. Right? And here's another one going around. And this isn't bad. But the Word says it. I believe it. And that settles it. You know what? You can take the I believe it out of there because the Word of God is true. And that settles it. Right. Don't matter if you believe it or not. It's still the truth. Right. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Wake up, America. Wake up. I'm going to leave it on there for a while. Who? Okay. People were embracing the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Verse 16, repent. What's that mean? Turn. Change. Turn. Change your mind. Repent or else. Or else. Else. Have you ever heard that before? If you don't do this, or, young man, do this, or else. My mama used to have this red leather belt. I don't know where in the world she got that thing. Had these, it buckled in like two places, so there was two smaller straps on the end. And man, that thing. I remember one time, man, we used to be able to wear shorts to school, seemed like when we were in the second grade or something. You remember that? We could. And I remember it was still kind of summertime. We went back to school. Mom had to light me up. And we put on shorts, go to school next day. She said, man, we better wear long pants, son, because I had whelps. That's not cruel. Really, it's not cruel. Really? Really? It's not cruel. I want you to know it's not right to abuse your child. But it says, spare the rod, spoil the child. What's that mean? Spoil? We go, I'm going to spoil you. You know what spoiled is? You ever opened up something spoiled? Run, man. It stinks. It's got maggots in it. It's like, oh, you don't want to spoil your child, man. It says, if you don't, what is the word? It's in Proverbs. If you don't discipline your child, you hate them. If you translate it, it means you hate them. And I want you to know, child abuse is horrible. People ought to be strung up and whooped and drawn and quartered that abuse children. I'm not for that at all. But you got to take authority. Amen. There's so many homes now that are being ruled by the children. Huh? That don't even make sense in the natural, does it? I can see I'm getting in dirt, dangerous turf right here, ain't I? I'll let y'all figure that out. How's that? Who was telling the story about the dog running out in the street? It was Mary. Would you consider it cruel if you live near a busy street? Would you consider it cruel putting one of them shock collars around your dog's neck to keep it from running out in the street?
No.
Would that be cruel?
No.
Okay. So we're going to have a special on shock collars that fit children's necks next week, and I can get them to you cheap.
I got one.
You got one? What, a child or a shock collar? Oh, he who has an ear, listen, I got an ear. Say, I got an ear. Let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who what? Overcomes. I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And I know we read this scripture because when you got a white stone in a courtroom, it meant you were innocent. If you got a black stone, it meant you were guilty and going to be judged. So we want a white stone, don't we? This one says the corrupt church, verse 18, to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works. Notice they've all got works. Every one of them has got something they've done well, right? Love, service, faith, and patience. As for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, there it is. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. In other words, I've gave Jezebel a chance to repent. She could have turned to God and everything would have been okay, right? But she did not repent. And it says, indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, which means a couch on which a sick man is carried, a gurney. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. You know what the definition for tribulation is? Trouble, affliction, a narrow, a throng, to suffer, to press as grapes in a grape, what do you call it where you press grapes? Not under your feet, wine press, very good. A narrow, straightened way, it's not good. It's a bad time. Tribulation's a horrible thing. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation and to give each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. But hold fast. What's that? Stand strong. Seize, lay hands on it, to take order, to walk in something, hold fast to something, not let go of something, what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the what? The end, to him I will give power over the nations. He will rule with a rod of iron. They will be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What was the greatest sin right there in that church? Sexual immorality and following the ways of Jezebel, right? It sounds like today, don't it? It really does. Sexual immorality is what?
Fornication
is what? We need to define these things. Amen.
Not when you're engaged after you're married.
Right. That's God's plan. That's right. That's God's plan. God's plan is, when I was growing up, I think it was just kind of understood. Well, that's for girls. No, really, it was. Kind of when I was growing up, Mama said the girls keep the guys straight because girls had a higher, most of them had a lot higher
standard.
Yes. And, you know, maybe the dad would wink or go, don't do nothing now, you know, like it was some kind of game for the guys. But the girls, because the girls paid the ultimate consequence, you know. But really, they both did. But now when, you know, in the 60s, when they came out with the pill and free love and free sex, it was like, well, it's okay now. And even if you do mess up, the devil came up with something called abortion. Well, even if you do mess up, then you can take care of it that way. And the enemy, that's one of his strongest temptations, not to just young people, my Lord, any age people. But God's plan is for us to be pure. God's plan is for us to who was it? I've seen several couples, and I believe them because I believe their truth. They say the first time we kissed was on our wedding night, and you go, that is so weird. But really, no, because it's like, don't feed the bears. Can we go back there for a second? Don't feed the bears. Can you remember? Okay, those of y'all that have lived a while, those of y'all that are young people, just listen to counsel. I remember the first time I held a girl's hand. And you think, oh, that is so weird. That is so nothing. I can remember, like, whoa, this is all that, you know? Really, and I don't know if you, I think kids and older people are so polluted with pornography now, it's like their mind, it's like you're, you know, it's out there in outer space. It's so far beyond holding hands. It's like, but I can remember that was the first, and it was awesome, man. I guess I thought I was in love or something. I don't know. Her name was Donna, too, but it wasn't you. And then I can't remember this, but I've heard of people that the first kiss is like, wow, nothing could be greater than this. And, of course, things escalate, like, so fast now. It's like, bam, bam, bam. But that first kiss stage might go on for weeks. You're going, you're from the Stone Age. No, really. Because you had some respect for the lady. You know, really. And then there's something called, well, I'm not going to get graphic, but then you can kiss different than that even. And it's like, whoa, man. I would have thought it was so nasty when I was a little kid, but it's like, whoa, it can't get any better than this. I know it's okay. Isn't this okay? Because I'm not telling y'all nothing you haven't seen on TV. So, the next thing, well, I'm not even going to go into any more details, okay? Because I don't want to route, but the thing is God, it was God's idea to have marriage, wasn't it? What's it say? A man shall leave his mother and his father and shall cleave to his wife and they shall become one flesh. Which you get that. You're connected. You become as one. And you become fruitful and multiply. God had it all figured out. And you know what? He wired sex to feel good. Because if it was something miserable that you hated to do, you might not have too many children. No, really. God wanted that intimacy like he wants to have with his church. And I'm not making that a sexual thing at all, but he said he's coming for a bride. So he's coming to be one with the church. And when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, there is no sex act on the planet more intimate than that. Amen. And when he comes in, he owns you. He is your husband. Whether you're man or woman, it don't matter. He is your groom. And don't feed the bears. So don't hold hands. You're going, oh, you're burnt. Don't kiss because you're wired to go all the way. In marriage. When you do it before that, when you start taking little bitty steps, I know this sounds insanity, but most people cannot take all these steps and not fall. And then how much guilt is there when you fall? I mean, how much guilt is there? Hey, you know what? It's not just young people. How many married people are like, well, you know, we could just be friends. We could just have lunch together. No, you can't. You cannot. Oh, y'all might hate me for this, but you wouldn't hate me for nothing, would you? I've got men friends. Well, sister, you're a girl that's a friend, praise God, but you know what? I won't go pick you up on Sunday morning. Even no matter how bad you need it, I will not do that. Because, for one thing, I don't want people going, I saw Pastor Mark and he was... People talk. And above all that, you can get involved with somebody. You know, things aren't going well at home. Well, you know, I just need somebody to talk to. You just don't realize how bad this woman is, you know? You really, oh, honey, it's okay, you know? And pretty soon, what started out to be friendship turned into lust. And anyway, don't let that woman Jezebel lead you around. Don't let that man that's dressed up like Jezebel lead you around. Because we know what Jezebel did, don't we? You know what? You can't have a Jezebel without an Ahab. Did you know that, man? If you bow to that devil called pornography, you're bowing to Jezebel. And it's something every Christian hates. I mean, they hate it when they fall. I've talked to people. They hate it when they fall into that. You've got to make a covenant with your eyes. You've got to make a covenant with your mouth. You've got to make a covenant that I've blown it, and I just stand up right now. God, in Jesus' name, we've all grown up with pornography, haven't we? We all grew up going through a checkout line at the grocery store, and there's some cosmopolitan, hey, if you want 20 ways to please your llama, you know? I mean, just ridiculous stuff. But your eyes, you know, I heard Michael Brown one time saying, God gave you something that's amazing that will turn your heart away from sin. You know what it's called? A neck. Come on, guys. That girl showing mass quantities of cleavage going down the road, you know what? You can focus in on that. Listen, I'm just telling you the truth. You can focus in on that or you can turn away from it. Or it's just appreciating beauty. Shut up. Shut up. I never looked at Playboy to appreciate beauty. It was always lust. Girls, romance novels, devil. I'm telling you. Because they let you see how good Fabio is. I know that's old stuff. He's probably bald now, but you know. Praise God, you know. When you get my age, you get like this, you don't have to worry about it causing nobody to lust. It ain't going to happen. But we all, man, we go through life and you are surrounded. You got the TV on. You're watching a decent show. You're watching Little House on the Prairie. And then you get this commercial about, hey, Louisville, man, step up, man. I'm so proud of you for going to the clinic. Have y'all heard those? It's like, come on. I don't need to be hearing this stuff. My children don't need to be hearing this stuff. It's pitiful. Disconnect from what causes you to lust. If you got young people, you can disconnect them what causes them to lust. Boo. You can take your right to bear arms and blam that thing right into the next year. You can. I'm serious. It really, and I, man, you know, I am not making fun and I'm not judging anybody, but I just want you to know that God has a better way. God has a better plan for you. God wants you to prosper. He doesn't want your flesh to prosper. He wants your flesh to die. Yeah. What was it, Paul? It said, I die daily. Every day Paul got up and it was in his DNA to lust. It was in his DNA to sin. But he said, I'm going to die to that. He said, Jesus went to the cross. He said, if they persecuted him, they'll persecute us. He said, a master... A servant is not above the master, right? So we didn't get too far in Revelations, did we? Can I read you something? Can you all stand just long enough for me to read? You clocked me, man. You clocked me. I needed that. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Let me read you something from 1 Corinthians real quick. Do you not know, verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Listen, the definition of harlot, you think you know what it means. A woman who sells her body for sexual use is a prostitute. One who yields herself to defilement for the sake of gain. Any woman indulging in unlawful sexual intercourse, whether for gain or just for lust. So that pretty much covers this. Don't join. In other words, brother, when Jesus came into your heart, he lives in here. He lives in here, doesn't he? Y'all believe that? You believe when you ask Jesus to save you and you're born again, don't you believe he came to live in you?
Yeah.
Listen, and it ain't going to happen again because we're repenting. But I'm just saying, next time something comes on TV that's lewd and nasty, next time you're tempted to punch that button on the internet and go somewhere you know what's going to come up, hello, don't you?
Yeah.
You know. The next time you do that, what you need to do is say, Jesus, you live in me. You're my best friend. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. So, Jesus, since we do everything together, let's me and you sit down and watch this pornographic video. Let's just ask him. Ask him next time you're going to do something, would you like to do this with me, Jesus? I guarantee you, you're going to get like, son, I've got something much better for you than this. And he will correct you. And that's a good thing, man. That's a real good thing, isn't it? So, don't sin, the Bible says, but if you should sin, you have an advocate. Listen, there is a huge difference between I blew it, I sinned, there was a weak spot in my life, and I'm sorry, God, I repent, I won't do it again. Maybe you blow it again. There's a whole big difference from, well, you know what, I really enjoy that pornography, and I, you know, it just really turns me on, so I'm going to do it, but I know that Jesus will forgive me, so it's no big deal. See, that's not grace. That's abuse.
That's right.
That's abuse.
Amen.
So know that he has forgiven you, but know that his plan for you is to be perfect. Do you know that he who has joined a harlot is one body with her? You know what that means? It means when, and it said when you become intimate with a woman or a man, it says that what? Says you become one flesh. And when that happens, there's something called a soul tie. Me and Donna have a soul tie. A good soul tie. Praise the Lord. It's a good soul tie. Fathers and children have good soul ties. Friends like Jonathan and David had good soul ties. But saying you don't want to join Jesus to a harlot. You don't want to, anyway. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee, listen, flee. Run as hard as you can from sexual immorality. Listen, every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. I advise you to read that because he goes on to say it's not good for a man to touch a woman. He says, you know, I think it's better off if you don't ever get hooked up. But he said, if you can't flee lust, get married. And then he talks about stay married, you know, stay to the bride of your youth, you know, and all that. But God has a plan. It's a good one. And it'll bring you joy. It'll bring you peace. It'll bring you a lineage, a godly lineage down the road somewhere. And, you know, it's just incredible what God wants to do. So, Lord, let's just hold our hands up and praise Him. Jesus, God, just thank You for saving me, God. Thank You. Thank You for putting Your Spirit in me, Lord. Thank Him. Thank You, Lord, for giving me a conscience. Thank You, God, for holy conviction, right?
Yes, thank You.
God, renew that conscience that gets pricked so easily, God. God, when we even think about sinning, God, show us, God. Wash us, Jesus. Lord, we want to be just like You. And right now, I come against spirits of Jezebel. I come against a spirit that's behind pornography. I come against this Jezebel spirit, and I nail it. We nail it to the cross right now in Jesus' name. I hold up my hands and say, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Say it. I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Ho, Jesus. And I no longer live to myself. I live for the Son of God, Lord. And God, I thank You it's not a religious thing, God. I thank You, Lord, it's not a rules and regulation thing. I thank You it's a love thing. I thank You, God, it's a union thing, God. In Jesus' name, God, and we pray for all the ones here today that are unequally yoked with unbelievers, those that so desperately want to see their mate fulfill their marriage in Jesus' name. We call them forth. We call forth husbands. Good husbands that are making a good living, but they're not serving the Most High. God, we call them out from the north, from the south. Come on, guys, get violent. From the north, from the south, from the east and the west, we call in prodigal husbands now. Now in the name of Jesus. Now in the name of Jesus. Now, now, now. And God, I thank You that You have forgiven me already for being unequally yoked. But God, You've got something better. So Lord, reach out and captivate their hearts, God. Do something that is just totally impossible, God. We believe for impossible results right now. Men who have women that are not, that have wives that aren't serving God, Lord, I pray, Jesus, the same thing, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, just show us right now where we have been untrue to You. Forgive me, God, when I've been untrue to You. I tell you what, I just want You to come up to this altar and talk to Jesus. Lust, pornography, or just not serving Him. You know, nobody needs to know why you're up here, but you just need to go get before God and repent, because repentance comes before revival, and we all want that so bad. We want that so bad, but God cannot inhabit the house of, it's got to be repentance. And repentance just means, God, You know what? You know everything. You know my darkest secrets, God. You're not surprised. You're not shocked. He just wants to, it says, confess your faults to one another so you could be healed. And this is between you and the Holy Spirit, but could you put on, just put on something, and please come up here if you need to just get some things straight with God, just between you and Him. You're going one way, and you know that I'm not fully sold out to Jesus. You've been feeding the bears. You've been feeding the bears. Come on up here and repent. If you need prayer, if you got a physical ailment, I believe Jesus will heal you today. Come up here and get prayer. But whatever it is, don't leave here without Jesus touching you. He loves you so much. He has such a good plan for your life.